It's the last sports cast of 2017.
Listening to the Nardis podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How's it going, guys?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's going great. I'm spilling, but we're good. We're good.
Spilling his beer.
It's a really full
place.
Beer. Ooh, pretty good.
Who poured it?
Myself.
Okay, Eric. Doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm great. It's our last podcast of 2017.
It's been another good year for the pod.
Yeah. It's been good for us. For Minnesota sports, I'm going to say it's been a successful year.
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that.
We've had more highs than lows,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
I think so.
Overall,
some unexpected.
In the body of work, I think there's been a lot more highs than there have been lows.
Right, and it's kind of tough going for a year because it's not a season year, right? So you're sort of like, well, how did our teams finish last year and how are they doing this year? That's how you sort of have to compare it, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And overall, mostly improved.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. So I think we're in a pretty good place. We'll dive into kind of a year in review for sports. We'll also talk some Minnesota Vikings, NFC North champions, playoff participants, hopefully first round bye. And we'll also talk about the rejuvenated, surging Minnesota Timberwolves.
There you go.
So before we do that, we have a beer in front of us that we're drinking from the 2017 Nordeast Podcast Brewery of the Year, Modest.
They won. We consensed on that one without having, nobody had to concede. We all just picked Modest as having the best 2017.
It was kind of weird.
It was.
Especially because we, again, nobody's going to believe us. We did not talk about any of this stuff beforehand. We came in cold open for all of us. And I said Modest first. Jimbo kind of like hung his head a little bit. Like, oh my God, he picked the same thing. And then Eric was in consensus with all of us. I think it was pretty unanimous.
Yeah. So, I mean,
not
I
even
think
an argument.
That says something. Yeah. And this is a beer I would not buy. This is their Smooth. So it's a salted caramel lager. That being said, it's actually really good.
I agree.
I wouldn't buy it. It's not a hoppy beer. It's sort of a more of a malty-based beer. But it's really good. And it's, I kind of get the salted caramel. I don't even like salted caramel. And I kind of get it a little bit, just enough.
No,
it's not too sweet.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I think the branding on it is also really cool.
All their
branding
cans
is good. Just pop on the shelf. I always notice this can. I think about buying it every time I go there. And I'm like, that's not usually my first choice of beer. And I think about buying it just because the cans are so damn cool.
If it's high enough on the shelf, I can spot Dreamyard about 30 yards away.
Yeah.
If there's nothing blocking the view, I can
see
Dreamyard.
That's all part of the equation for them. Yeah.
It's a big deal. We always talk about, we talk about a little bit less, but we do talk about branding as far as the plethora of beer that you see in the cases needs to kind of stand out and jog that part of your memory where you're like, oh, I remember how good that tasted. I see that. I want that.
Yep.
Modest definitely has all of those things going for them.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, guys, now is the time that we ask you to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes. If you can't find us on iTunes, you don't have an iPhone, then
get an
find
iPhone
us on Podbean and make sure you get the Nordeast Podcast to your phone every single episode in 2018.
All of them. All 199 episodes.
And guys, we have a special end of year deal for you guys. If you subscribe now, you get every episode in 2018 for free.
Wow. Are you sure we can afford that?
All of them
to
for free.
To give them all away for free?
And if you're already subscribed, we won't charge you.
Wow.
So
that's a great deal.
We're not raising prices.
Yeah, we're not.
We're not going to raise our price. We promise not to raise our price on you guys. All episodes 2018 for free.
Man, that's a great deal. You can't miss that.
And also, you can get an extra 50% off if you just share it with a friend, family member, or just tell somebody.
Yep. 0 times 0.5 is actually still zero. So
yeah.
That's a
real
factual
cheap
statement.
Real cheap.
I love it, man.
All right, guys.
Go out and get it.
It's time to jump into our final sportscast of 2017, and we're going to start out with a year in review.
It's been a hell of a year.
What happened?
It's been up. It's been down.
So let's jump through with the teams in Minnesota and what happened with them. Let's start out with the most important team, the one that is on all of our minds, the Minnesota Golden Gopher men's hockey team. yet again, going out in the first round of the NCAA tournament and repeat. It will be the same in 2018. Don Lucia will be coach for life. It's like a Supreme Court appointment. He can't be fired. He'll never leave. And yeah, there you go.
He makes a ton of money.
He makes a ton of money. Let's move on to another team.
I
know.
That was quick.
Yeah, that's all we give them.
I tried to make it really fast for you guys. they looked at me just horrified.
Well, clearly you have a bone to pick because you do like to bring this up quite often.
You hate Don Lucia like nobody else. It's unbelievable.
Let's try to go with some teams that play earlier in the year and kind of move towards the back end of the year. So let's go to what makes sense.
Well, the Twins are wild.
Let's go with the Minnesota Wild. So the Minnesota Wild got absolutely red hot last year. Going into the playoffs, they were pretty healthy for the most part. They had a series against a St. Louis Blues team that got hot and snuck into the playoffs at the very end. And
the former Wild coach, Mike Yeo, coached Blues.
Right. They cleaned us up, right? Did we win a game?
We won. I think it was 3-1.
Yeah.
It was the final score. And it was 4-1. And it wasn't even, it shouldn't have even been that.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
Well, the first game was here, and I was actually at the game, and we outshot them something like 55-21, and we lost in overtime 2-1.
Yeah.
And the
so
team.
So it seemed like this year was going to go probably better, right? I mean.
Well, you know, I think it's just like we have attempted to go into the season now with a core of Ryan Suter, Zach Parise, Mikko Koivu, Devin Dubnyk,
Granlund,
Coyle, Nino, Spurgeon. I mean, they've kind of had this core of guys that they've Brodin, you know, that they've kind of tried to build around, and they just brought the gang back again. And this year, they just are a year older, a little less healthy, a little less lucky. And they are currently not in the playoffs in the Western Conference. So it's been a pretty disappointing 2017. And I think that the biggest issue for the Minnesota Wild is that they are losing the battle for Minnesota fandom for the first time ever.
Ever.
Where they are not the most popular team during their season. I think people are more excited about the Timberwolves for the first time ever. They still sell out every game, but the fanfare is not what it was. And I think that they're going to have to step up their game here and make some big changes to compete for viewership and fandom in Minnesota with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, one of the things that if you look at a guy like PJ Fleck, or if you look at the Wolves, some of the things that you do in the off season really kind of trickle over to the regular season. And winning some of those press conferences, right, where you kind of make a big splash. Like, obviously, getting Jimmy Butler, really big deal for the Timberwolves.
Huge offseason.
PJ Fleck signing guys that are sort of anonymous now, but they're well-known within, like, high school recruiting ranks. And, you know, the top 100, you know, whatever rankings list that they have. And you're like, wow, that's a really good get for them. The Wild just kind of are like, we signed Matt Cullen and we traded away Jason Pominville for a couple other guys that nobody really knows. Mm-hmm. And like Eric said, the band is back. It's the same band, except they're just an average band and kind of have been, especially with the Parise injury. I mean, you can make the argument that they were good, but kind of bringing them back and really nothing else to show for it. Nobody's really excited about this team. There's no dynamic superstar. There's nobody that's like, oh my gosh, my kid has to have his jersey this year, whereas everyone wants a Towns jersey. Everyone wants a Butler jersey. It's just not that exciting of a team. It's not enticing. It's not making you want to say, well, the Wild are on tonight. I got to throw on Fox Sports North.
Are we going to pick which teams had the best and worst year?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. I have my nominee for worst. All right.
Let's move on to Gopher basketball. So the Gophers made the NCAA tournament for the first time in quite some time. Had a pretty strong end of their season before getting upset by what most people thought was one of the best low seeds in the tournament, right?
Best of the mid-majors. Yeah. Middle and, Tennessee State.
And not only did we lose, we got absolutely manhandled.
Yeah, it sucked.
And this year they pretty much brought everybody back. They brought in Washington, right, is his name, a good young freshman. Eric Curry went down with an ACL injury in the offseason, which has been pretty painful to them. But they have been pretty decent. Would you say that they have met expectations thus far this year?
No. I would say they've not met expectations.
For sure not.
But I would say just a little bit below. I think there was way too much pressure on this team, given the way that they finished last season, to replicate that. It's very hard to do year to year, unless you're Michigan State or, you know, in previous years under Bo Ryan, you know, Wisconsin, where they're just consistently good year in and year out. And they stumbled a little bit, but they stumbled early. So maybe that's a good thing moving forward into when you really start to get down into Big Ten play coming into the new year. But I would definitely say they're a little bit below expectations right now, not very deep. Mm-hmm. And I think people were expecting a little bit more.
They have literally no depth.
None.
But they are 11-3. They look like a pretty sure bet to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
at least as of right now. I mean, yeah. We were picking, what, 3 seed or something, at least with Phil when we recorded with him, right? Was it 3 or 5?
Somewhere in there, though.
Yeah. I don't know if I see that happening, but there's a lot of basketball yet to play. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
It's a little early.
Yeah.
Let's move to the most elite team in the state, Gopher football. Where are you with them? They signed PJ Fleck to be their coach last January, and he kind of had a hodgepodge recruiting class that he tried to put together at the last second, and he took a major step backwards on the field. But then just recently they had the best recruiting class they've had in over a decade.
Top 25 in the nation in some circles.
Yep. Somewhere right around that kind of 25-ish in the country number, one of the top classes in the Big Ten. So the future looks a little bit brighter than the present. Where are you guys with Gopher football?
I mean, I'm excited. I thought that this year was going to be better than it was. It was really disappointing. They were bad. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not off the PJ Fleck bandwagon. I'm fine. Like, let's go. Let's see what we do next year.
Well,
that's sort of where I'm at.
And in this day and age, there's so little patience given to something as difficult to do as college football, which is you have to be an excellent recruiter and you have to be an excellent coach.
And you got to take care of kids that all only really want to bang and do drugs.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a tough group to lead.
Yeah, you're not really dealing with adults. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of kids that, like, just graduated high school.
Yeah.
And as we all know, none of us were, like, mature enough to handle major Big Ten spotlight at 18, 19 years old. I will say I think PJ Fleck is a very good recruiter, very good rah-rah guy, very high energy. I think that's very good for this program. It's yet to be seen how good of a coach he actually is. So I think the jury's still out on that regard. He did build a little bit of a wall. Hey, we got a wall built this year. Around the state of Minnesota, keeping some recruits in for the first time, like keeping some major blue chip recruits in for the first time in a long time, probably since the Glenn Mason years, even. So that's kind of a big deal. Kill and Clays were not very highly regarded as far as their recruiting went. I mean, good coaches in their own right, very boring style of football, but they recruited exactly what they wanted for that. We'll see what PJ can do. I would say this year will be a good litmus test. And then the following year will be the deciding year on whether or not he's going to actually be a good football coach in the Big Ten. We'll see.
All right, let's move on to Barter's favorite team, the Minnesota Twins, coming off the being the worst team in the league, having the number one pick where they took, what's his name, Royce Thompson?
Royce White.
No, Royce White was a basketball player.
Royce.
5'9". We talked about Royce this last 5'9".
Week. I'll look it up.
Oh, man. I thought it was Royce White.
No, he was a basketball player who played at Iowa State. But anyways, they had the top draft pick in the draft, Royce Lewis.
Anyway.
And they...
I'm so far out of baseball season, it's hard to click to back into that. Yeah.
They battled around 500 for a good chunk of the year, and then Byron Buxton figured out how to play professional baseball. The pitching staff was just good enough. We ended up being one of the better offensive teams in the league with some guys like Brian Dozier. We don't know anything about baseball right now.
Yeah, right.
they pieced together just enough to get into the wild card round, where they allowed us to believe for just a moment.
For half an inning.
For half an inning, that we were going to knock off our arch rivals, the Yankees, and we were going to actually make it into the real portion of the playoffs. So,
well, now that, I mean, realistically, if you look back at that game, we were in that game until the bottom of the seventh. The game was right there for the taking. I think it was like 5-4 at that point. So that's not in any way out of reach.
Yeah.
And then it just, the wheels came off with our bullpen, which was our biggest weakness all season long. So it, you know, you find the glaring weaknesses in the team most of the time in the postseason.
Yeah. And it was Royce Lewis, by the way.
Royce Lewis, you're right. Yeah. So I will say overall, Twins exceeded expectations. Mine,
absolutely.
National press, local press, everybody had this team pegged for maybe 80 wins. And that was like reaching.
If and everyone did, they get did well, to 96, something like that?
I think we were like 86, okay. 88, somewhere in that range, which was, it's a big deal. We weren't close to competing for the Central because the Indians went on that 23-game winning streak or whatever late in the season. But we played really good baseball.
Yeah.
And like Eric said, pitching did just enough. Our starters actually did better in the second half of the season. Like you said, Buxton absolutely put together a monstrous second half season for a 22-year-old guy. So the future, I think, of all the Minnesota teams that we've had in the last like 5 years where the future looked very bleak, the Twins give us a little bit of hope in that regard, especially considering the last like previous five seasons, six seasons.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do. They just signed a relief pitcher just this
Zach week. Duke.
What do you know about him?
Not much. I think he was a Mets guy for a little bit, and then maybe a quick stint with the Pirates, but we'll see. I don't know. I don't know much about him. Relief pitchers, who knows, league to league, what their role is going to be, it all depends.
What they do moving forward, and what happens in early 2018 will be exciting, though, because I think there are some moves to be made, and I think that the fans know that, and most definitely the Twins brass know that they've got to go, you know, go for it just a little bit here, maybe trade some of those prospects that they have. And
we have like seven draft picks from the last draft, so we got some assets.
And go find a couple pieces to definitely compete to go to the playoffs yet again.
Well, going back to my earlier point about, you know, PJ Fleck and the Wolves, you know, kind of winning the press conference, if we go out and sign a big name pitcher, or not even if we got Darvish, obviously that would be a huge deal. But even if we got one of the lower guys in that top tier, or we traded for a Garrett Cole from the Pittsburgh Pirates, that's winning the press conference. That's another one of those things that gives the fans an idea of,
sell some tickets.
Here's what we're doing to build for the future.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who were well below expectations last year. Ended the year pretty terribly. In the offseason, they traded Zach LaVine, one of their bright young players, and his torn up knee.
Yeah, and he's along still not with playing, by the way.
First round pick from the year before, Chris Dunn.
Who's playing pretty well.
And the number 7 overall pick, which would become Lauri Markkanen, who does look pretty damn good.
Yeah, not enough to help the horrible, horrible Bulls, but...
But yeah, they traded all those pieces for Jimmy Butler, one of the top players in the league in his prime, and the number 16 pick, which they used to take Patton.
Yeah, Justin Patton. Who hasn't... He's actually playing now in the
just,
G League.
No,
in
they
Iowa.
Just brought him up.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
So just, we might see him
like yesterday.
On the bench.
I believe yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
And it wasn't because he was terrible. Cool. He got hurt.
Yes.
And so he was rehabbing, and then he was working out in the G League.
Yeah, I think they wanted him to work him. I mean, goddamn, they need help with the bench. So.
Yeah, so he is going to be joining them. The Wolves currently, I know the power rankings mean absolutely nothing, but as of today, on the ESPN power rankings, they're the 7th best team in the league. They're 21-13. They've won 4 in a row. There has been many a road bump along the way.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like 21-13.
I know.
I'll tell you that much.
It has the last few games. They've won handily. They've looked better. They've played solid. Some defense.
But yeah, I mean, they've had to kind of figure out where each of these pieces fit. Wiggins, who just got a max deal in the offseason, is seemingly the piece that doesn't fit all that well. So that's been kind of the tricky part, figuring out those touches. And as the team has moved to be more of Jimmy Butler's team, they have, kind of moved up the rankings, moved up the standings to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, they're currently fourth right now. And Oklahoma City, I think, will take that spot within a couple weeks. You don't think so, Eric? I mean, they're figuring it out. They're probably going to end up better than us, I think, this year.
Nah.
But, I mean, I'd be fine with a fifth seed. And I think that's sort of what we were hoping for. You know, stay away from the 7-8 seed where you really don't have a chance to win a series. And, you know, get that sixth seed, that
It does seem
seed.
Like it's just destiny, though, that we're going to play OKC in the first round.
No, I don't think so.
The 4-5?
Oh, OKC. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
OKC, that would be great. I'd
Minnesota,
take that. That'd be fine.
4-5. Either way, it'd be a fun series. So I think that's got to be the most likely of the matchups right now for the Wolves. Yeah. And then finally, we go to the Minnesota Vikings, who, as when we left off in 2016, had dropped like multiple games in a row, had gone 3-8 down the stretch after starting 5-0, had a quarterback whose knee still had a lot of healing to do, signed a veteran quarterback in Case Keenum for a 1-year, $2 million deal, had a draft where they didn't have a first-round pick, but they still got a first-round caliber talent in Dalvin Cook in the second round, and then subsequently lost him right away to a knee injury.
Yeah. It seemed doomed, didn't it?
Having said all that, Sam Bradford came back, played the best game of his career, and then, of course, had a knee
Promptly
injury.
Promptly went out with a knee injury, yeah.
So it was looking like it was going to be the most Minnesota Vikings season ever. But since that point, they are now the NFC North champs. They got their first shutout at home, or first shutout since 1993, in the home of their bitter rivals, the Green Bay Packers, 16-0 in week 16. And they have all but clinched a first-round bye in the playoffs, where they may be the favorites in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. It's been It's been a pretty good year for them.
So, I mean, talking about power rankings again, we're now third in the power rankings behind a number two Steelers and a number one Patriots. So, yes, at least ESPN thinks we're the best team in the NFC.
Yes.
And they knocked down, even after a win, they knocked down the Eagles to 5. So,
the Eagles
they're starting to realize that they're not much.
Barely, and pretty much have won due to the ineptitude of the team, their opponents,
yeah,
against the Giants last week, who are just horrible.
Who were like in it until the end.
Who had four chances.
They had a chance to win. Yeah.
The 10-yard line to win the game and couldn't do it. And then this week against the Oakland Raiders, who just were doing everything in their power to get their coach fired and get a higher draft pick. So let's move on to our questions of the year. Not so many of them. But the first question is best moment of the year, best sporting moment.
I'm going to go with one that's a little biased.
Okay.
Based on what I like. And it was the catch in center field by Byron Buxton off the bat of Miguel Cabrera. And he absolutely, this is at Target Field, Miguel Cabrera smashed this ball to center field, and it was tailing away, hit straight at Byron Buxton, which is the hardest play to make for a center fielder because you don't know which way the ball is going to tail. And Buxton's going 100 miles an hour back. He takes kind of a bad angle, but it's very difficult to do because you don't know if the ball is going to tail inside or outside or stay straight. And it kind of started peeling away from him a little bit, and he adjusted, just made this absolutely gorgeous diving catch over his shoulder, on the warning track, slid into the wall. This is one of the perennial best hitters in baseball. He doesn't hit the ball lightly. He's humongous. And this was, I think that was in like late June. And it was kind of when Buxton was starting to figure things out at the plate. So it felt like a little bit of a turning point when he gains confidence on the defensive side. And we all know what he's capable of there. Like very, very solid defender all around as a center fielder. And then you just look at the potential, and I thought that was one of the coolest moments. Seemingly innocuous, right? Oh, it's just kind of a catch in center field, but I think it was a moment of like, oh, okay, this guy is really, really 100% the real deal as a center fielder.
That's a good barter pick. I like that one. That's a personal barter pick. So for me, it's got to be... All right, let me tease it a little bit. So the Wolves are in many ways a different team. Second year of a new coach and head of basketball operations. We have a completely new look, which I fucking love more and more. We have a new looking Target Center. Completely, it looks amazing. I was there the other week. It really looks like a brand new building. But the biggest change to this team was Jimmy Butler. We've never, ever been able to grab that giant free agent pickup, right? Never.
Well, he wasn't a free agent. We traded.
We traded for him, yeah. Right. But we've never been able to land that. Okay, thank you. But we've never been able to land that big trade.
The big fish.
We get that guy that's, you know, wants out. He was rumored all over the league. And we got him. And I just knew this is a new team. And within the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks especially, he is proving that it is all worth it. And he has been unbelievable. He is the best player on our team and is playing like it. It's all coming to fruition. That was the biggest moment in local sports for me this year.
That was, I mean, other than trading away Kevin Love, which was a big deal for many other reasons, who was kind of like, you know, the hometown guy, first round pick, was a pretty good numbers guy, mm-hmm. at least statistically, and then trading away Kevin Garnett. But like to get a guy, that was a big deal. Yeah. Especially a guy of that caliber, where we weren't moving him for pieces to like, oh, now we're going to build for the future again. You know, we were actually like, people wanted to come here. Yes. And I know it was a Butler-Tibbs connection, right?
Which is great.
That's fine. Like, that's all part of the deal, and that's great.
Yeah, but we were always, you're right, we were always the team that was trying to sell our fans on getting rid of the big star player and right. bringing in the future pieces, whether it's Al Jefferson or whether it's Andrew Wiggins. You know, we're always getting the next big superstar for our current superstar.
Right.
And this was a time that we did the opposite for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we traded away some potential for a sure thing. And that's exactly what we got.
Yeah, and it's been kind of a fun journey. Butler, there's no way anyone could tell me he had anything but a disappointing start. I know everybody was trying to sell it as he's trying to be a team player and he's trying to be a leader and he's trying to learn from his new teammates and, you know, every way you could spin it. But I mean, really and truly, he struggled to get, you know,
to really contribute, I think.
To really contribute, especially offensively to this team, and where they've kind of taken the ball from Wiggins and given it to Butler, the team has improved drastically.
Yeah.
And now his fingerprints are all over the team. He is averaging about 26 points a game, I believe, in the last month. So he's really become one of the big-time players in the NBA again.
Yep. Yeah, top five, top 10.
I think that's got to be the moment of the year. The Butler trade on draft night.
Because moment, right? I mean, like, they're not the team of the year. The team of the year is the Vikings, for sure, right? But
yeah.
At least for me. But how do you pick one moment there, right? I mean, it's sort of been like, holy shit, we won again. Oh my God, we look great. Wow, that game wasn't even really close. We just are the much better team. It's sort of been a slower build, where that was a huge moment.
I think that was the big one.
And that plays out game after game, where it gets late in the fourth quarter and it's close and the ball is in Jimmy's hands, you don't feel trepidation like, oh, here we go, here's another terrible shot. You're like,
mm-hmm.
if Jimmy can get one up over the defender,
I like our chances.
It's going in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just feel that confidence. And I think the Wolves team feels that too, where they're doing whatever they can to get Jimmy open or to get him a screen or to, you know, set up a little pick and roll so that he can get the weaker defender on him. And they know that. And I think the offense is now running through him. Whereas it, like, Wiggins was kind of making it run through himself and everyone's kind of figured out that's not going to work as well. Let's let Jimmy shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
If I had to pick a secondary moment, I would say just the support of the Vikings fans as they travel around the NFL. I saw firsthand, and I know PA said this week that a moment he would never forget the rest of his life was when he was in D.C. with the team this year. They played the Redskins, and the Vikings fans pretty much drowned out the Redskins fans on the road.
And you were there. You were helping.
And I was there, and it was the truth. I mean, it was incredible to see the Vikings fans traveling so well. They almost outnumbered the Redskins fans. They were much more passionate, much louder, and pretty much just made the stadium their home while they were there. And then this week, it was more of the same. I know that the Packers were eliminated from the playoffs. I know they cheatingly put Aaron Rodgers on the IR, which means he definitely needs to be released. But, you know, I think that we saw again Lambeau Field, supposedly the place of the most loyal fans in the NFL, who never would give up their seat and would, who cares what their team's record is. All they just live for the Packers.
They're owners. Owners.
They're
owners.
They all paid hundreds of dollars to make rich people richer by getting a piece of paper that says they get to go to some meeting that they have literally no say in. Yeah, it's cool. But yeah, I mean, you hear all about these Packer fans and how passionate they are and how they're the best fans, and Lambeau is a mecca of football, and they would never give up their
Lombardi trophy after all.
The Vikings can't ever, you know, make Lambeau their home like the Packers make the Metrodome their home. No, literally it was purple in there.
And then there was 20th row seats on StubHub for $80.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, where's your loyalty? Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. I mean, it was all of the things that Packer fans rest their hat on, were the things that they did wrong. And the Vikings fans took the stadium over. The skull chant in Lambeau was beautiful. And yeah, I think that's kind of like my secondary moment of the year, is just the Vikings fans.
That shout out.
Yeah, the Vikings the fans just everywhere, though. Just how they travel, how they have been so loud everywhere they go, how much purple you see on the road, and how the Vikings have kind of become like this like darling team of people probably all over the world.
It feels a little bit different this year, doesn't it?
It does.
And, you know, the best thing is, coming into next year, at least for the playoffs, we're not going to have to travel anywhere.
Yeah.
It's going to be 3 games here, and we'll win the Super Bowl. That'll be it.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, especially as trash as Philly is, they're definitely going to lose.
Yeah. Really? I wouldn't mind going to Philly at this point.
Yeah, no shit.
After watching that Oakland game, I have zero fear of Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles at all. We will make him hate his life.
Yeah. Does anybody here have a team besides the Vikings as their team of the year?
No. I really, when we do this next year, man, I want to say the Wolves, but I really don't think I will, right? Because
well, it's going to be hard to pick the Wolves when the Vikings win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah, right. That's exactly it.
We're jinxing this. We're setting ourselves up for disaster.
It's not going to happen.
Just stay dead inside, and it won't hurt.
Yeah, it's got to be the Vikings. I mean, no matter what happens in the playoffs, they've had an amazing season. I mean, hands down, their record, their performances, the adversity they've overcome, just how incredibly deep and solid the team is. The coaching is unbelievable. They're a good team, even without massive superstars.
Oh, absolutely. They're easily the best team of the year. I know that they won't win awards for it, but they have had their top two quarterbacks go out injured. They brought in a journeyman veteran in Case Keenum, and they've made it all work. Their defense is kind of heading towards historically good.
Well, you say made it work with Keenum, that's just, I think, underselling it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like he's done just enough to be good. No, he's been actually really a good quarterback overall, and a lot of the offense is clicking because of him. Anyway.
So I don't think we have
to debate this one.
No, there's no debate. We have the moment of the year is the Jimmy Butler trade. We have the team of the year is the Minnesota Vikings. This is where there's going to be some complicated feelings. Who wins the year for sports here in Minnesota? And if you want to go outside of Minnesota, you can.
I'm fine with keeping it in Minnesota. I'm going to go Thielen. It's the best story. He's been absolutely unbelievable. Solid week in and week out. And we'll see what he can do in the playoffs.
Thielen. Winning
Thielen
the
is, yep, for me.
Pro Bowler. Got a new contract. Minnesota
guy.
Yep.
Best, you know, underdog story. And up there week in and week out with Antonio Brown for yardage. And it's been awesome to see.
I think if you were going to tell, you know, you have two boys, Jimbo. I've got one and another boy on the way. And if you're ever going to tell your kids about, not necessarily a football player, but just like a sports story of, if you feel like you're good enough and you want to chase something, here's the guy you want to follow. I really think you could make the argument for Adam Thielen and Case Keenum. Mm-hmm. They both, I know Thielen rings so much more true here because he's one of us, right? He's a Minnesota guy, Mankato State, walked on to the Vikings basically, earned a practice squad, you know, level contract, then was a special teams guy, handful of catches here and there. Then the following season had, you know, a little bit bigger role, still, you know, good blocking wide receiver. You know, they always talk about he's a really good blocker downfield, yeah. You know.
He runs a nice route and he's pretty solid, you know. When they throw to him, he catches it.
And now he's like superstar level, like wide receiver.
He's
yeah. top three NFL wide receivers.
At minimum a top 10 receiver in the NFL.
And mm-hmm. so if you're gonna look, but then on the other side, Case Keenum is like, it didn't work out in St. Louis, didn't work out in St. Louis/LA.
Mm-hmm.
Started for Houston a little bit. That thing went sideways for him. Everything, you know, all their injuries. Bill O'Brien, the new coach, didn't really mesh with him. Still stuck with it. Got into a situation where he just signed a contract as the backup, going to back up Sam Bradford, probably won't see any playing time, right? Yep. Knew that going into the season. And then all of a sudden, week two, on Friday, it's like, Case, you're starting against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Pittsburgh. And
of course, that's not going to go well.
Not going to go well. Didn't go well. Went horribly. Next game, I forget who they played the next game, looked pretty good.
Was it? No, because we lost to Detroit.
It wasn't Detroit. Detroit was the game that was bad after that. And we were 2-2. And we were thinking, and Dalvin Cook went down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're like, man, this is all over 2016 again. This is ugly, disgusting. Write him off. You, I think, said the season was over.
I said the season was over.
Yeah. And
and we've lost one game since then.
Yeah. And
since that point, we are 10-1.
And seriously, so that's another story of like, just because things look terrible on paper doesn't mean you can't buy into whatever the team is believing in. And both of those stories for both of those guys, I think, would be invaluable to teach to any youngster, and not just for sports, but just in life in general, of follow where you think you want to be and follow with the people that you think are going to get you there. And they're both really cool stories for us as Vikings fans, because it normally doesn't go that way.
Right.
It normally is like, we have the cool feel-good story, and then he breaks his shoulder, you know, or something horrible happens, or we get all these penalties and whatever. This is a different season. This is a different team, different attitude. I love what they're doing. I have no fear of any of the teams in the NFC right now.
I have no fear of any team in the league.
Who are you picking then?
Hold up. I just want to tell you guys something with your Adam Thielen pick. So there's huge Adam Thielen news, all right? So it's official. Nordy's podcast has made it official.
Okay.
Here's the new rankings. Number one, Don Hutson. Number two, Steve Largent. Number three, Raymond Berry. Number four, Fred Biletnikoff.
Should I know who these receivers?
Number five, Lance Allworth. Number six, Jordy Nelson. Number seven, Don Maynard. Number eight, Ed McCaffrey. Number nine is Dwight Clark. And number 10, passing Chris Collinsworth for the greatest wide receivers of all time, is Adam Thielen. There it is. Adam Thielen, number 10 all time.
That's so not why I picked him. Oh. Now I feel like we're like celebrating white power or something. Like,
No, you should be celebrating the rareness of it.
Yeah, that it is a rare thing.
You're missing like Don Beebe.
What about Edelman? Isn't he up there?
Tom Waddle.
No. Edelman isn't considered a better receiver than that?
Not on this random shitty website.
It's pretty shitty.
Let's do
sports ranking by race. That's fun.
It was all people from like the 60s. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I didn't even consider that. I guess that makes it more rare, not necessarily to be celebrated. Okay, but whatever. Is it Bart? You got to tell me your pick.
Eric, why do you take it? Weird areas, and I feel uncomfortable and awkward. But it's fine.
It's like, but Kendrick Lamar, remember? Like, we gave him Album of the Year. That's cool, right?
I think from an adversity standpoint, I think it has to be Case Keenum. But I cannot argue against Adam Thielen. Okay. I think he had the writings on the wall to be better. I don't think anyone saw it to this level. But I think what Case was thrown into for me is the player or the sports person of the year in Minnesota.
Okay, I love it. And I think that's fantastic. He has more to do with our winning than Thielen, so why not?
I mean, he's just such a humble guy. He's so likable, and I think it's a really good problem to have that we're going to have to decide whether or not we're going to keep Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater, or we're just going to keep Teddy going into next season.
Where does he belong on a list of white quarterbacks of all time?
Probably like 97.
Because they're all white, or what?
No. just more. So
okay. See, that's the relevant questions.
All right.
No, if you really wanted
no more racial.
If you really wanted a racial question, it needs to be white cornerbacks. Go.
Jason Sehorn. That's the list.
Jason Sehorn. I'm having trouble naming any. That's it. That's the end of the list. He's the only person on the list. All right. So my sports person of the year is going to be a tie. I thought about it long and hard, and I literally couldn't come up with one.
No, you will have to pick one.
And I think everybody has had one tie so far. Maybe Barter's had like six of them. So 1A and 1B. I'm going to go with my two people, and they seem both very deserving. One of them is Rick Spielman, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. Number two is Mike Zimmer, head coach, Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
The two of those guys deserve so much credit as they have become two of the very best in the business, tops of their craft. No one could say that either of those guys is outside of the top five at what they do right now. Zimmer has become a guy who is one of the top coaches in the league. You actually watch guys get better playing for him. The team, there are no more issues with the team. There are no problems. The guys are all just warriors. They go out there every game. They don't complain. They're not worried about making Pro Bowls or stats or anything. It just, like Barter says, it feels different with him as the coach, one of the finest coaches in the league.
You know what's even funnier about that? Just to interject a quick note, is that he's been more surly and more standoffish with the media this year than in past years, where he's not saying anything about his players' performance in press conferences. He's not talking about players' health and who's going to play. It's just like, if they're healthy, they're going to play. I'm not going to evaluate them in the media, that kind of deal. And so the media has hated Zimmer this year, but I think the players are fully on board with the Mike Zimmer pressers that he's doing. And I think the media should just say, we're 12-3 right now with a chance to go 13-3 with a bye and a, you know, home game. So let's let Zim do Zim and leave it be and stop trying to ask him like, well, do you think his ankle's going to be good enough for him to play on Sunday? Let Zimmer handle that.
Yeah.
Just let it go. Let him do his thing. So anyway.
He does get some hate for that. I agree. And obviously on our podcast, we don't care because we don't get to ask him questions.
Which is such a Minnesota thing to get like angry about because he didn't tell you if the guy's ankle looks like it's going to be okay. He's not a doctor. Like he's like, if the trainer says he's good to go, he's going to play.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the discussion. But people are like, want his medical evaluation of, you know, whatever. Hey, so,
we're not used to his success in Minnesota. That's we don't true. Know how to handle it. We're like mad at coaches that are doing well before anything happens that they're going to leave us in the future. We're like in a relationship where we're like angry with our partner that they're going to cheat on us when they haven't.
Yep.
That's kind of what we are with coaches. So
that's
well, he's doing great, but
yeah, he's probably gonna leave us for a different team. You know?
Self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing. Yeah.
So yeah, I would say Zimmer definitely, and then Rick Spielman.
So what's gonna be Zimmer though? Because of the culture he's instilled in the guys too.
I tell you what,
put that on him and not Spielman. Spielman makes the moves though.
Let me throw you a stat for Zimmer: 0 catches, 0 carries, 0 yards.
No, I understand.
I'm just kidding.
But
he hadn't done anything on
like,
the field.
Like if Robert Kraft could keep Brady and Gronk or Belichick, he'd keep Belichick.
For sure.
For sure. Right. It's not even close. And so I think Zimmer is a special coach. He's like really one of the top guys. He might not win coach of the year.
Only because of Sean McVay.
Or Peterson with the Eagles. One of those guys is going to probably win it. But Zimmer's right there. I mean, the three of those guys are all so deserving. Obviously, Belichick could win it every year. And then Spielman, I mean, he has just created a roster with so much depth. It's funny, we love to give him a hard time about every pick he's missed. But you have to remember, he missed on the Treadwell pick, but he got a fifth-round stud in Diggs.
Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm. And he got an undrafted free agent in Adam Thielen. So we should cut him some slack for missing on the first-round receiver when he nails the fifth-round pick and the undrafted free agent to be, like, Pro Bowl-caliber players. And I mean, he's just nailed it. I mean, he's built a roster with so much depth that we have been able to withstand not one but two quarterbacks going down to injury. We have been able to withstand our starting running back going down to injury. We've been able to withstand our left tackle going down to injury, our center going down, You know, just whatever happens, it just doesn't matter. There's someone there to step in and fill in, and the team doesn't skip a beat. And that's because he has just built a roster that is so deep and so strong and without any real weaknesses. And he needs to be applauded as well. I mean, he's done just a fantastic job drafting and finding those guys in the mid rounds to add that depth and build a real serious contending roster.
Yeah, I would agree just a little slightly less than that, because I feel like for every Adam Thielen, there's also a Willie Beavers. There was the German wide receiver guy, Moritz Boehringer,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
There's Michael Floyd. There's some things that have struck out on as well. But
yeah, the
you can't argue with the quality Boone of what signing, they did put together.
The Boone signing, though, they did cut bait on that when they realized,
which was amazing,
that that wasn't going to work.
That was like
out.
A ball. I mean, the media hated that. They're like, "What the hell are they doing?" You know?
Yeah. The yeah, one guy that was like solid.
Every team has those.
No, sure. And I know. I get it. I would agree that like the signing of Murray couldn't have been any better, knowing that just adding running back depth was going to be invaluable
mm-hmm.
long term.
Yeah, right.
And it's turned out to be incredible.
So
like,
important.
Latavius Murray has been a stalwart on this offense.
He's getting like 8 yards. I mean, I don't know what his average really is, but it's got to be six.
Think about just this last year. If we just talk about what happened this last year, who he brought in. He brought in Case Keenum for $2 million as a quarterback who almost made the Pro Bowl.
But I will say, if you would have asked him what he thought he was going to get out of Case Keenum, if he had to start after week two, I guarantee he wouldn't have said this.
No, so, but he would have said way better than Sean Hill, who was
agreed,
his backup last
agreed.
Year.
So it was a much, much improved signing, but I think Case also made, made this signing look a lot better for Rick.
He had Murray at running back. He drafted Dalvin Cook. He brought in Riley Reiff to stir up the line. He brought in Zach Elflein, the center in the draft. Pat Elflein. He brought in Mike Remmers, the right tackle.
The off-injured tackle.
In free agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, he brought in three guys to kind of fix that line. And then, obviously, I mean, everything he's done on the defense has been pretty much gold to this point. I mean, even signings that we questioned, like Sendejo, and even Thielen. I mean, everyone questioned how much money they gave Thielen last year when they signed with that extension, and now he looks like one of the most underpaid players in the league. So,
right.
I mean, just they've done a great job. They've really moved into being like one of the top organizations in football with a coach of the year candidate, numerous Pro Bowl players, Pro Bowl snubs, a really good general manager, and, you know, probably the finest stadium in the league.
Do you need to get that off your chest, the Harrison Smith Pro Bowl snubbing?
That's pretty
crazy. Are you okay with it?
Especially after the Packers performance.
It's literally astonishing that he didn't make it, but whatever. I mean, it just shows how stupid the voting process is. It's like every Cowboys lineman is on it. Like the Steelers have like 15 players on the team, and Harrison Smith doesn't make it. It's like, when is it time to take the voting out of fans' hands for all-star stuff?
I think that's voted on by the players, isn't
it? It's one-third by the players, one-third by the fans, and one-third by the like
Harrison
GMs
Smith wasn't on anybody's roster for Pro Bowl voting for any reason. Outside of Minnesota.
He made two Pro Bowls though.
Right, but we know him and love him. And I think a lot of that was weighted as far as the players went. But like when you look at safeties and you think, oh, he had 5 picks and this guy has 3. Well, I'm going to pick the guy with 5 picks because whatever. I don't really watch the Vikings tape because I'm in the AFC. I have no reason to really care about them. So we see Harrison Smith week in and week out, and you're like, that guy's all over the place. He's stopping runs here and there, but like you see he had 5 tackles, right, on the stat sheet for a game. And you're like, oh, that's okay for a strong safety. He had 5 tackles, whatever. But then if you look at those 5 tackles, 2 of them for loss, 1 was on 3rd and short, and the other was he was the only guy between the running back and the end zone, and he made a great open field tackle, right? Yeah. All of those were meaningful. But when you look at like the overall stats, so Harrison Smith is probably the most underrated defensive player in the NFL.
I think Harrison Smith is like one of the 10 best players in football. And he currently, this is a great stat for you guys. He is currently the only player in NFL history. And if he continues this through one more game against a lowly Bears team, he will be the only safety in the history of the NFL. Or I think the only player in the NFL who's a defensive back who gave up 0 touchdowns in coverage on the season, who had 5 interceptions and over 50 stops against the run. It'd be the only time that has ever happened in the NFL. He's having like a historically great season as a safety. I mean, his numbers look like he's a for sure Hall of Famer, and you know, people just have no idea. So was I mad about it? No, it's the voting process is silly. I mean, it's the same thing where in the NBA, Kobe Bryant was starting every All-Star game.
Right.
Like when he was like incapable of being on a like contending basketball team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people just have no idea. They're not paying attention. They are just like, oh, I know Earl Thomas is great. You know, oh, I know that guy for the Giants, whatever his name was really good last year. And it's just like, you know, they don't know at this point. And so Smith took it in stride. He just said, I don't play to make Pro Bowls. I play to win games. And
it's not like he's going to be going anyway, because it's the week before the Super Bowl. He's not going to want to go to the
and,
Pro Bowl.
And literally, I mean, there I think go. He's going to get some serious consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. I think it's like Aaron Donald and him and, you know, maybe
Do
like...
they base that just off the regular season?
Yep, just off the regular season. I mean, it's probably like Aaron Donald will probably win it. The linebacker for the Seahawks, can't think of his name. KJ Wright is his name. The other one is
who's that Jacksonville Jaguars guy that gets so many sacks?
Well, they have the guy for the Chargers, Bosa is
yeah,
another
Joey
one.
Bosa.
I mean, like those guys are going to be up for it, and I think Harrison's like in the conversation with any of those guys, like as just one of the elite players
but
in the NFL.
The best part about this season is that we've been, other than this week's power rankings, where we were basically forced into third place. We've been just under the radar all season long, and that's perfect. Let's just ride under the Steelers and the Patriots, and like everyone's looking to the AFC, and whoever wins that game between the AFC Championship, which is presumably going to be between the Steelers and the Patriots, like that's what everyone's looking at because they're the cool East Coast sexy picks. Let's just keep flying under the radar. Let's just keep being overlooked this entire time.
Yep.
Let's just keep being this sort of ho-hum team that plays really good defense and their offense is, barely below average. That's fine. Let's just stay right where we are. That's right where Harrison Smith wants to be.
Yeah.
That's right where this team wants
to be. Zimmer wants to be.
It's right where Zimmer wants to be. Like, no notoriety, no huge, like, puff piece articles, blah, blah, blah. Let's just get there.
Last year, we made the power rankings coming into our bye week as number one. And after that, the wheels fucking fell off.
Hard.
Fell off.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm fine. I don't want to get to number one in the power rankings. I don't care where we're at. Number three is just fine. I guess we have the recognition of being considered the best team in the NFC, which is fine. And then, of course, they would give us no chance to beat the Patriots or the Steelers in the Super Bowl. Fine.
That's fine.
Well, they're going to come up against Carolina. They already beat them. New Orleans Saints is on fire. They're a really good team. Seattle, you can never count them out in the playoffs.
Good. We should
feel
like that.
Perfect. Exactly.
We should. I mean, of course. I mean, we could absolutely lose the first round of the playoffs. I mean, or when
Second.
We're first game.
Yeah.
First game. That could happen. And
by
we
the way,
feel
I just
like that.
Don't want any of our listeners to like give me a hard time. It wasn't KJ Wright. It was Bobby Wagner.
Thank
I meant
you.
To say. So I just feel like someone's going to be like, you're stupid.
No, you got to self-correct.
But no, here's where it is right now. The playoff picture in the NFC, the Eagles have locked up the one seed. They'll have home field throughout the playoffs. The two seed looks almost definitely to be the Vikings. The only way the Vikings do not make it is if the Saints lose to the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay.
The Vikings lose to the Chicago Bears, and the Panthers beat the Atlanta Falcons. That's the only way that they're not the two seed.
All right, that's a long shot.
So that's a long shot. I mean, that's two of the best teams in the league losing to two bad teams, and a really tough game for the Panthers on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. So I mean,
we're kind of literally fighting
for their playoff life. I mean, they have to win to stay in. So to me, it's a done deal. Pretty much the Vikings have probably a 90%+ chance of getting that first round bye as the number two seed.
And let's just do what we've done this whole second half of the season, where everyone was like, man, if they make it out of this 4-4, we'll consider that a win.
Yeah.
And we've lost one game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So let's just take care of business
yep.
and end all the conversation.
End it all. And then currently 538 has the Vikings as a 16% chance to win the Super Bowl. They still have the Eagles because it's not based on anything but math.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the Eagles with the best chance in the NFC at 19%, but that doesn't account for the fact that they lost their MVP quarterback.
Well, they might have been at like 25%. Yeah. And then the loss of Wentz drops them down 6 percentage points, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And they definitely don't pass the eye test anymore.
No. So currently they have the Vikings as the fourth best team in the NFL for the whole season, not just with their current level of play and injuries. They have New England 1, Philadelphia 2, Pittsburgh 3, and Minnesota 4. The Saints are 5, and the Rams are 6. The Rams are our most likely opponent. If the season ended today, or if just the most likely scenario were to happen, the Rams would be the 3 seed hosting the 6 seed Atlanta Falcons. The Seahawks could still sneak into that spot. And then the most likely scenario on the other side would be the 4 seed New Orleans Saints hosting the 5 seed Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
So if everything goes according to plan, the Saints would travel to Philadelphia in round 2, and the
I would expect them to win that game.
LA Rams would travel to Minnesota in round 2.
And I would expect them to lose that game.
And it should be a good game though.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams are very dangerous. They have Todd Gurley, who is making a late push to be the league MVP. They have a good line. Obviously, McVay has created a pretty awesome offense there. Their defense is good. They have arguably the defensive player of the year in Aaron Donald in the middle of that defense. The big things, though, is that they lost Greg Zuerlein, who is the best field goal kicker in the NFL.
Legatron.
Huge, 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 huge loss. I mean, you go from having the best field goal kicker to probably the worst just overnight.
Some random guy that they found that can kick
was like
goals.
An accountant. He was like working for like an accounting firm.
Really? Because he obviously would be on another roster.
Yeah. See, that would be good. The most apropos story is like the Kurt Warner. He was bagging groceries before this season.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy kicked 19 field goals against the Vikings.
He kicked the 55-yard game winner against the Vikings in their own stadium.
We're
talking about it like that because it's not likely.
It's pretty damning, I mean, to that team. I mean, the playoffs are going to be close games. And to beat a team like Philadelphia on the road or Minnesota on the road, you're probably going to play in a close game against a good defense. And you're going to need little things and you're going to need to make field goals. And it's just a death sentence.
Dude, I got like a major wave of anxiety, like thinking about like the fourth quarter with like 7 minutes left.
I'm not going to do well in these games, you guys.
No.
Yeah.
Let's just say we're not even going to watch it. We're just going to go get drunk at Dangerous Man and then hope for the best.
Yep. I'm just going to stop being a sports fan.
Until it's over?
No, I'm just done.
Okay.
Stay dead.
It's just not
stay dead
it.
Inside. Don't feel anything. Don't. Feel anything.
So, you know, I think we proved it this week to be the true kings of the North, winning the North, shutting out our foes, the Packers. First time they've been shut out since the early 70s, first shutout the Vikings had since the early 90s. Huge win, 16-0 in a pretty boring game. I do have a few worries at this point about our guy Case Keenum. I'm starting to feel like he is slowly but surely turning back into a pumpkin.
No.
A little bit.
It was cold.
He's been pretty cold now.
The temperature was cold.
The deep passes have gone away. The out routes, like those like corner outs to Thielen, are gone. In the last few months now, he is throwing the ball very short in most of the plays that we're getting our yards after the catch, which it's not a bad thing. Obviously, any goal or any long play, any first down, any completion is a good play. But the plays are being made with our guy's feet and not so much with his arm. So I think my big worry going into the playoffs, and not that I have a lot of worries, I'm not trying to say that we're in bad shape or he's bad, but I would say the one thing that could haunt us in the playoffs, I think, is Keenum, his inexperience in big games, his inexperience in the playoffs, and just the fact that, you know, he's going to be going up against guys who are Hall of Fame quarterbacks probably. I mean, he might have to go play against a Breeze, a Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, yeah. Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson. I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks, and in a game where it's going to come down to like who can make the big play, I would choose those guys over Keenum.
Good. We're going to beat the best.
The big plays are going to come when we intercept those guys.
No, guys, that's fine. Give
us the best punch. I will say, here's the other thing. Pat Shurmur knows the score. As far as the division goes, as far as the first round bye goes, all of that stuff. They don't want to give teams everything they got on tape leading into the final games of the season. They know these teams are going to be watching a lot of the late season tape. They might go back to some earlier stuff, but it's all available, but they're going to want to watch the most recent stuff. They've dialed it back just a little bit because of a couple of offensive line woes. They realized that pass protection wasn't going to be at its peak without, you know, Reef and Elfline. They brought it back just a little bit, and I think they tried to simplify it a little too much. I think Case is still dynamic with the ball. He's just missing, right? I don't think he's not egregiously over or under throwing anybody, just off by a little bit. And I think those are minor tweaks as opposed to major adjustments. And I definitely don't see the panic button being hit on their end. If we lose to the Bears and Keenum has a terrible game, maybe we need to revisit this conversation, but that still hasn't happened.
Yeah.
It was 7 degrees in a meaningless game for the Packers. They weren't going to do anything crazy. They weren't going to do anything. They weren't going to pull out all the stops against this terrible Green Bay team. I'm not worried.
I think you're mistaken what I'm saying. I'm not pushing the panic button. I'm just saying.
No, I wasn't saying you were.
I'm saying if we are to struggle or lose in the playoffs, and I had to tell you why it was, I would tell you it was because of Case Keenum. I'm not saying the most likely scenario is Case Keenum. It's not the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, would you be more surprised if you heard that, oh, the Vikings lost in the playoffs because Keenum threw 3 picks? Or would you be more surprised if the Vikings lost in the playoffs because they gave up 37 points?
I mean, obviously the latter, right? Because they've got a top. But we also have a top five offense. So there's no reason to think that if something went awry, it might not be Case Keenum's fault. I mean, you can't argue. I mean, if you want to look at like the statistical body of work between both sides of the ball, the offense has been just as productive as the defensive side of the ball. I mean, so you're going to go to Pro Football Focus and like
I'm right.com
and show me.
I'm checking for you.
But I know we're in the top 10.
We're 10th in points right now, in total points, and in yards we are in 10th. So we're about the 10th best offense. Which is pretty good. I mean, he's been nothing short of miraculous for us for the whole year.
But you're definitely right in that he is the least notable name of the QB playoffs outside of probably Jared Goff of the teams that we would play for sure.
And my worry is like when you look at the teams that are ahead of us in offense, it's New England, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Jacksonville, the Rams, the Chargers, and the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. All top-tier quarterbacks.
And all playoff
all
teams.
All of them.
All yeah. people.
They're all playoff teams. I mean, so I just think if he can prove it in the playoffs and he comes out and he's, you know, the quarterback we've watched all year long, I don't think there's a
but
team.
But Drew Brees was that guy in San Diego.
Yeah.
Cam Newton had his struggles in Carolina. Matt Ryan was awful for some years in Atlanta, and they drafted him very early on, and they struggled hard. Guys have to come into their own at some point. I don't see any reason why Case can't be that guy.
And let's be honest, the defense has given up 7 points in 2 weeks, even if it's to two bad teams. They are unbelievable. They suffocate everybody. If you can't run the ball on the Vikings, you are dead. It is game over. So it's exciting stuff.
How many times do you think they're going to drop Trubisky back to throw the ball? Like 10, 12? Is there any reason why they shouldn't just run like triple option and just forego even trying to throw the ball
all day?
I imagine just Howard just running into a brick wall over and over and over and over and over. Like 25 carries for 57 yards.
You going to be there?
Yeah.
And just blitz after blitz after blitz on third down.
And then
just all day.
Just
double A
Trubisky
gap,
running for
hot.
His life and throwing like passes 7 yards short of the first down markers.
Off his back foot.
Yeah.
Panicking. That third and fourth quarter is going to be ugly.
Over
for
under
him.
Two interceptions.
Over.
Over two?
Okay. I would say under only because I don't think they're going to throw it that much.
Yeah.
I think, I'm half joking. I don't think Trubisky is going to throw the ball more than 15 times.
Okay.
They're going to try not to. They're going to try to not hurt. They're going to say this is a lost season. Let's not kill our kids' confidence today.
Well, not only that, like if Trubisky is your, you know, number three pick overall, was he number three?
Two or three.
Something like that. Why would you even want to run him out there at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand like experience and things like that, but you signed Mike Glennon for $1 million a snap. Throw somebody else out there and save Trubisky for next year.
Guys, we've had some pretty dark episodes this year, but currently our Timberwolves are on a, what, 4-game winning streak?
Yeah, they look good. Really good.
They
solid
look pretty
wins.
Good. We have
Vikings are 10-1 since Eric said the season was over.
Yeah,
as we already talked about.
So they're 12-3, looking like they have a bye wrapped up. The Twins obviously had a pretty decent year and surprising year. Gophers are picking it up in most sports other than hockey, and the Wild are absolutely
the same team.
Just the same team. Like, so boring. So
guess what? It's hockey. Who gives a shit? Perfect.
Wow. We live in the state of hockey.
Ain't my state.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to touch on in our last moments of 2017?
I want to thank you guys for potting with me week in and week out. It's one of the highlights of my week every week. And we want to thank the listeners.
Yeah.
For which it would all be possible even without them.
Yeah, if it weren't for you guys, we would just have no, we wouldn't have spent all this money on equipment.
So the listeners are actually costing us money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
no,
thanks.
No, but thank you guys. Yeah. Really. Thank you everyone that comments and listens very loyally, likes all of our Instagram posts, shares our stuff, all the breweries that reach out to us to say, here, we got some new cool shit. Come drink it on the podcast and talk about it. The places that invite us in, Pinku Japanese, Randall's Restaurant and Bar, lots of other places that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Thanks to all those guys for sure, right? I mean, it makes it fun to feel like you're sort of a part of a wonderful, wonderful city of Minneapolis.
It's been a lot of fun, and I'm going to echo the same thing Jimbo said. It's one of the things I look forward to the most during the week outside of my family is this podcast. Especially when the teams are doing well, it makes the podcast even that much more fun.
It's a little more fun.
Yeah, it's more fun. And before I get all emotional here.
Well, Rain Cloud Eric didn't make a ton of appearances this season.
I know.
I think, I hope we don't have to in 2018.
What do you want to see more of? Do you want to see more of like Tinfoil Hat Barter in 2018?
Yeah, always.
He comes up with some crazy stuff.
I love Tinfoil Hat Barter. Jimmy Channels will have the Hot Racks. I hope I can keep doing that.
Yeah. Jimmy Channels was on fire. First of all, what was it, 10 for 10 Oscar picks last
year?
That
was fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was expected.
Anything less than 10 for 10 is unacceptable.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what I can do.
Guys,
you better go watch Lady Bird.
The last thing I have to say before we go is if you are, this isn't, I know you guys think I just go to a political place all the time, but I have to admit something to you guys. Last year, 2016, I am pretty sure I said that I'd be happy to have Donald Trump as the president of the United States so long as the Vikings win the Super Bowl.
You did say that. You definitely
you
said that.
Sold your and your fucking soul.
I'm pretty sure that came out of my mouth. So I have this.
Are you gonna
like,
apologize?
No, I have this newfound confidence in the Vikings winning the Super Bowl this year because
you're going to
because
hell.
Yeah. That was a crazy long shot.
Yeah, and
for
I said
Donald
that.
Trump to become president,
I was like,
and that happened.
I was like, oh, it'd be a nightmare if he became president unless the Vikings won the Super Bowl. So, hey, if it happens, I'm to blame for all of the struggles that you have, but also...
But you could get a moment of happiness.
You're also get all the credit for the Super Bowl.
But I should be on the Vikings float because I made the sacrifice for all of us for them to win the Super Bowl. So... There you go.
Can you imagine the shot from like Care 11, like camera? Eric Burtness sold his soul.
Yeah. Sold the country's soul.
Yeah. So it was my fault, guys. I apologize to you. Hopefully 2018 brings us all a lot of joy.
I think that was the ultimate sorry, not sorry.
It was.
Oh, I'll be really sorry if the Vikings lose in the fourth quarter after being up 28-3.
At least you would know that you weren't responsible for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Whereas if they do win, you're going to have to really take some time for self-reflection.
The rest of my life, yeah, knowing that it was
my fault.
You
have to carry that backpack with you forever.
So that's all the time we have this year, 2017. We can't wait to be back in 2018 better than ever. Thanks for all your support. Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. And hopefully you guys are having your conversations with us while you're listening to us every single week. Let us know what we can do to improve, what we can do to make the show even better for you, and what we can do to make sure that you continue to listen to the Nordies podcast in 2018. So thanks so much. Enjoy New Year's. Stay safe. And come back next week with the Nordies podcast.